causes inflammation, doing the same. How much should I do that?
Okay, well, let's go back, get back on course. Let's do the, let's work through the exercises here. And we'll go through the vocabulary and then we'll go through the list like we've been doing. And this is Yesh li chol bepeh, is what it's built upon. And malim. Okay, so I'll say it and you can repeat it after me and kind of look over to the English to reinforce the your understanding of that particular word. Dam. No, just repeat the vocabulary.
Oh, okay, sorry.
Dam. Ril. Maim. Roch. Yain. Basar, afar, efer. And these are words you need to know. Okay. Yeshli chol bepe. Dam. Yeshli dam bepe. Ril. Yeshli ril bepe. Maim. Yeshli maim bepe. Roch. Yeshli roch bepe. Yain. Yeshli yain bepe. Basar. Yeshli basar bepe. Afar. Yeshli afar bepe. Efer. Yeshli efer bepe. Bepe. Very good. And Shtaim, Melim, Ata Shachavta. Hu Shachav. He Yishchav, or who Yishchav, sorry. Ani Shachavti. Him Shachvu. Atem shachtem. Shachavtem. Anachnu shachavnu. Ata shachavta. Oh, I'm sorry. At shachavt. Aten shachavten. He shakva. Okay. Ata shochev achayabasha. Ata shakhafta achayabasha. Hu shakhav. Hu shakhav achayabasha. Ani shachavti. Ani shachavti al hayabasha. Hem shachvu. Hem shachvu al hayabasha. Atem shachavtem. Atem shachavtem al hayabasha. Anachnu shachavnu. Anachnu shachavnu al hayabasha. At shachavt. At shachat al chayabasha. Aten shachavten al chay. Oh, aten chashavten. Aten shachavten al chayabasha. He shachva. He shachva al chayabasha. Ata shachavta. Ata shachavta. Al Chayabasha. And again, you know, when you're doing these drills, it helps in the beginning to imagine people that you're pointing. At least do it in your imagination. If you can't do it, remember to do it physically, because you kind of need something physically to point to. But the way I would be doing it with the drills is in my imagination. And then you can imagine a single guy, a single woman, a pair of guys, a pair of women. And, you know, and then when you're saying these things, saying it about them or saying it to them, in this case, you would be saying it to them and pointing to yourself, ani shachavti, anachnu shachavnu, hu shachav, he shachavta, or shachavt. You know, you could do it that way. You know, a tem, shachav tem, that's a mixed group or just a group of men. That is probably the best way, because in your imagination, then you're reinforcing the meaning, your understanding that is especially helpful, you know, like, because what he's giving you the subject pronouns together with the pronoun endings, because a lot of times in the Hebrew, you're not going to have the subject pronoun. You're not going to have ata shachavta, you'll just have shachavta. Oh, sorry. And you won't have hu shachav, you'll have shachav. Shachav al yahayabashah. And it's saying the same thing. You know, he laid on the beach. Or on the dry land, you know. There is another word for beach or shore. And you had that in part one. But anyway, so in your imagination, you can be doing that. And, oh, geez. There we go. Melim Shalosh. And, you know, if you notice that with these exercises, there's two different listenings to each one, yeah. And which is helpful. I mean, it just gives you a chance to keep working with it, and you're assimilating the vocabulary as you go along. I mean, you know, like Al Chayavasha, you just had that so many times and with different arrangements. Okay. Yes. Hayam? No, that's the sea. Hayam. They might say the beach. You're going to the beach, but Hof? Hof. Yes. Hof Yam. Yeah, that the sand of the sea. Hof Yam. Remember? Yeshli Chol. Hof. Yeah, it's related. Yes. But in part one, you had it. He was talking about, he has vocabulary items in there for that. I don't remember right off the top of my head what it is.
Yeah, I think so. When they had the map of Israel, they were talking about
maybe. Yeah. Lishon, lips, the word for lips is also used for the shore, the shoreline. Okay, now let's do Nirpa, Nirpa, sorry, Nirpa. And on this you see two Shavas, and if you remember, the first Shava is silent and the second Shava is vocal. That's one of the rules of Shava. You know, and sometimes, you know, that's the only, that's what you fall back on to know how to pronounce it. You know, and if it's a Shava after a long vowel, it's vocal. And if it's a Shava after a short vowel, then it's silent. But sometimes the way that people say it and the way that people use it is different, then it violates the rules. As we will see. You know, sometimes it's just a matter of pronunciation and usage. So, but technically, that is Just follow the rules of the grammar, and you can't go wrong. Okay, so let's do it again. Nirpe'a. Yadai. And with these, I would be pointing like Yadai. Yadai. My hand. And in each one of these, you have the pronominal suffix for my. And with the and it's attached to the noun. Okay, yad is hand, yadai, my hand. Okay, and I would that's what I would do. I mean, I would, you know, like I'm sitting down, I would physically touch whatever part that it's talking about. Reglai. Oznai, anai. This is where Woody was making fun of me, because he was there and I just said, hey, I got to do this, you know, it's all in Hebrew. Anai, Roshi, Nirpa, Hu, Yarafe. Chatsi, right here. Chatsi. P. Oznai. Nirpeu. Enai. Anai. Yadai. And I have to go back because I was mispronouncing Yadi. Okay, not Yadai, Yadi. Yadai is this, my hands. Okay, Ragli, my foot. All right, so I just want to correct that pronunciation. We could do that in the exercises too. Ozni and Eni, and Roshi, that's where I caught my mistake. Okay. Shalom li ata bitni recha. Shalom li ata bitni recha. Shalom li ata bitni nirpe'a. Shalom li ata bitni nirpe'a. Yadi nirpe'a. Shalom li ata Yadi nirpa'a. Ragli nirpa'a. Shalom li ata ragli nirpa'a. Ozni nirpa'a. Shalom li ata ozni nirpa'a. Eni nirpa'a. Shalom li ata Eni nirpa'a. Roshi nirpa. Shalom li ata roshi nirpa. Hatzi nirpa. Shalom li ata hatzi nirpa. Pi nirpa. Shalom li ata pi nirpa. Oznai nirpa'u. Shalom li ata oznai nirpa'u. Anai nirpa'u. Shalom li ata anai nirpa'u. Yadai nirpa'u. Shalom li ata yadai nirpa'u. Now, do you see what the difference is between these words? Nirpe'a and nirpa?
I looked it all up because I couldn't figure it out. But the hand, the foot, the ear, and the eye were all feminine.
Right.
And then the head and the chest and the mouth were masculine.
And what about the last three? Oznai, anai? Yeah, plural. They. And you know that the when you see that at the end of a word, is plural. Yeah. For they. And very good. Kamate is a very common feminine ending. Okay? And see, he doesn't give you the explanation of that. He exposes you to it, and you kind of get a sense for it as you're going long, but if it really bothers you.
It was bugging me, so I had to get out of the chair. And then I had a feeling it was it, but
yeah. Yeah, some of those words I learned that were feminine, because there's nothing about them that would tell you that they're feminine, but except when they're in context like this, then that's when you would discover that that's what's going on. Okay. Shtei oznai shmot kol. Okay, let's do the milim. Arba. See, I like to do that because each one of these are built. This is where the dialogue comes into play. That kashivot, sorry, patachot, kavadot, atumot, koavot. Shtei oznai shmot kol. Kashuvot. Shtei oznai kashuvot. Patochot. Shtei oznai patochot. Kavadot. Shtei oznai kavadot. Atumot. Shtei oznai atmot. Koavot. Shtei oznai koavot. You know, and sometimes when you're working through this, you just kind of forget what the meaning is and you're concentrating on repeating it. And so it's always good to look at the meaning, to kind of glance over. And sometimes to even dramatize it, like in your imagination. Shtei oznai kashuvot. Shtei oznai kashuvot. Or paying attention. Patuchot. My ears are open. And then the negative side, kavadot. And you know that is a common expression, that their ears are dull of hearing. They're heavy. They don't hear. And atumot. Closed up, and koavot, my ears are painful. They hurt from listening so much to the dialogues. No. Okay. Lechu kiru, this is Hamesh. Lechra el ninve. Lechu kiru. Lechi keri. Lechna. Krana. Yes. Lech. Kra alinve. Lechu keru alinve. Lechi. Kiri, lechi kiri al ninve. Lechna krana. Lechna krana al ninve. And these are more imperatives. Okay, these are other forms of the imperatives. Remember, there are the second person forms without the preformative, and what happens to the you can't have two vocal shavas in a row, because the initial one would be vocal and this would be vocal. So what happens is that the initial one changes to a hirik, and this pattern is very typical with the imperative, so that you know that you're looking at an imperative. And here you have it with a simple context, and this kind of reinforces the endings too. Lechu, these are both, imperatives. Lechu, lechi, keri, go, call out, go, call out, go, call out. The meaning is all the same, but the subject is what would be different. It would be masculine, plural, masculine, feminine, singular, feminine, plural. And we lech kra is masculine singular. So these are all the different forms of the imperative for that particular word. And it's the ending that tells you, that really gives you the clue whether it's masculine singular, feminine singular, or shesh. Melim. Ani yotze mipo. Ani yotze mipo. Okay. Nimlat. Nimlat. And these are the same word, aren't they? But the meaning is different. What do you suppose it is? One's a participle and one's the past tense. You can tell that in the meaning, and but in this case, the spelling is the same whether it's the participle or the past tense.
Yeah, in this one, the a vowel.
Very good. With the participle, it's comments, and with the past tense, it's patach. And this particular form. Is he's giving it to you ahead of time, but this is the Nifal. Okay, and we're going to learn from his explanation that the most significant way of recognizing that is the Nun. So you have Nimlat, Nimlat, Yimelet, Yimelet, and that Dagesh is the Nun, which we're going to see. See, I like the way that he gives you the forms ahead of time so that you're already exposed to it, you're already familiar with it, and then he gives you a little bit of an explanation a little later. But you're already learning it, and you don't know it. But now you know it because I'm pointing it out to you. Nas. 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 Nas, and again the same thing. The participle and the past tense are spelled the same way. Yanus, Yanus, and Mithamech, Mithamech, Hithamech, Yithamech. And this is way in advance. This is a verb form called the hitpael. And that mem is a sign of a participle. But you can sense that already by looking at the meaning of the words. Mitchamek is evading or escaping. Hithamek, he evaded. Yithamek, he will evade. And Boreach, Boreach, Barak, Yivrach, Na, 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 Na. See the same difference. The participle and the past tense are spelled the same way. Yanua, Yanua. Okay. Ani yotze mipo. Nimsat. Ani nimsat mipo. No, I'm sorry. I messed it up. I'm not even looking at it, am I? Nimlat. Ani nimlat mipo. Nas. Ani nas mipo. Mitchamek. Ani mitchamek mipo. Boreach. Ani vorech mipo. Na. Ani na mipo. And you notice in each one of these, it's the participle. That was highlighted. And he's giving you various forms of that, various ways that participles are formed with the different verb forms, actually. And you see it sometimes the participle is the same as the past tense. Sometimes you have that mem with some of the verb forms as an indicator of the participle. Many times it's going to be that holam vav. That is the dead giveaway that you're looking at a participle. So you can appreciate that now about Dr. Booth, what he's doing. Giving you the language without the full explanation. And now here is a better explanation of the nifal. And the verb pattern with the prefix noon. And that noon is probably the most significant way to recognize this particular verb form. And both the verbs nimlat, he escaped, and nirpa, it was healed, they belong to this category. So we've already had those words. And so you're already familiar with it by the time you get to this explanation. You're going, okay, now we see what it is. And they're built on a pattern with a prefix noon added to the root. And this is called nifal, and you can see it, nifal. And the vowel patterns are preserved in the name of this particular verb form, nifal. And the name reflects the actual sound of the past tense of these verbs. That would be the third masculine singular. So you read it and you listen to it. And here you go. Let's do this. And you know, this is one of those sections that I isolated as a playlist, you know, for my review, so that I could reinforce my understanding of this particular form. And this particular track that had all of this right here, I would listen to it several times to reinforce it, you know, and then move on. So here we go. Ani nemlarati. Nemlarati. Ata nemlata. Ta nemlata. And sometimes it sounds like, because that is a silent shava, nimlatita, that's what it sounds like, okay? And maybe it's just the sound of the T, maybe it's just the modern Israeli pronunciation, because it's easier to say it that way, okay? So just imitate the recording, nimlatita, that's what you're hearing, nimlatita. Okay. Nimlatat. Nimlatat. It's two tavs. Tuta. At nimlatat. Hu nimlat. He nimlata. And that is the vocal shava. Him nimlata. Naknu. Nim latnu. Anaknu nim latnu. Atem nim latatem. See, and it kind of sounds like ta. Nim lat tatem. Maybe it's just the sound of the two T sounds in a row. Nim latatem. Aten nim latatem. Him nim latu. Hana nimlatu. Okay, and you notice that the first root letter, it ends the syllable with the noon prefix, and the vowel is hirik. So that noon hirik is is what's common with these Nephil. In the second syllable, they have, and just look, you look them up here, they have an ah vowel, except for the shava and the 3P and the 3FS. Common plural is really what that's called, third common plural. And you notice that, see, ni, la, ni, la, ni, la, ni, la. And then there is the 3FS, ni, le. It's a vocal shva. And nim, ni, la, nim, la, nim, la, and nim, le. That's the common plural, third common plural. Now you want to get into the meanings, the nuances. See, that's what the verb forms are giving you. They're giving you nuances of meaning. And the most common one is the one that we studied first, is the pa'al or the kal. And that's like two-thirds of the verbs in the Hebrew Bible. And the rest, this is a pretty significant one. This one's pretty common. It's like about 4,000 times in the Hebrew Bible. So it's one that is highlighted here. And here is the meaning. It can be used as a passive of the pa'al form, of the kal form. And it can also be used reflexively. And here he's just giving you the passive meaning. And passive, when a verb is active, it means it's doing the action of the verb. Okay, the subject is doing the action of the verb. When it's passive, the action of the verb is being done to the subject. Okay, and when it's reflexive, the subject is doing the action of the verb to himself. Okay, or there can be a reciprocal too, but I don't think that he really mentions that, where the action of the verb and the object, subject and the object, they're doing it to one another. Okay, so here you have in these examples, Chaish Katav et Hasefer, the man wrote the book, and Hasefer Nikatav, and the book was written. You see the difference there? The katav is the third masculine singular of the pa'al form, or the ka'al form. And nikatav is the nifal form, the third masculine singular. And you see the difference in meaning. Chayish katav et hasefer, hasefer nikatav. The book was written. And you see that in every one of these in every one of these examples, you see the subject is receiving the action of the verb. That's the passive nuance of the Nephil. And but not all Nephils are passive. In many instances, the Nephil form is going to also be the active form. It'll have an active meaning, and sometimes they're not even found in the kal form, and it would be a nifal. And here he explains they may have their own distinct meaning and not have any other active verb to which they relate. And here are his some examples: haish nimlat, and Hamalach, Nirdam. These are all familiar words already. This is stuff we've already been exposed to. Hamelach, Nilcham, Bamalach, Him, Nimlach, Nimchamu, and they fought. And those forms, there would be no kal form or no pa'al form. And he does suggest here, he joined himself in battle, you know, there might be something there to that. And historically, these words were intransitive or reflexive and did not have a direct object. And that's what intransitive means. Intransitive means it does not receive a direct object, but transitive means that it receives a direct object. And he says it's subject intensive because it's emphasizing the subject. And in European languages, the verbs correspond to reflexive or middle forms. And just like in Spanish and French and Greek and German. And he suggests that they may have had a complex, that it is logical, that it's in the history of the word, but it's been lost to us. And it's just in terms of usage. And what he explains here about usage. And he says, this is the way languages are. And you should just realize that meaning is determined by practice and usage, not by etymology, not by the origin of the word. Okay, the etymology is interesting, but, and you look down at the footnote, and this is something that I reinforce to the guys because you hear it in Bible studies all the time. You hear people talking about the root word or the origin of this word, the original meaning of this word, and then they try to give that meaning to the meaning of the word in the context in which they're using. But he suggests here that there is a false reliance on etymology. So there's more to it than just defining the word. More to it than just looking up in the lexicon and trying to impose that meaning upon the word. Because the word, its meaning is drawn from the context. Its meaning is drawn from how it's being used. And that's why you see a variation in translation values when you look something up in a lexicon. Is because in different contexts, it's being used in different ways with different meanings. And he says that this false reliance on etymology is probably one of the most commonest mistakes that interpreters make when dealing with Hebrew. And etymology is interesting. It has its place. But it's not the same thing as defining the meaning of a word. And it's not a part of language fluency. So we focus upon how a word is being used and draw the meaning from that. And however, in Hebrew, etymology may be the only source that you have for trying to understand the meaning of a word, because many times you only have a Hebrew word being used once. You know, hapsilogomia, that's what it's called. And it may be that the etymology would be helpful in understanding the meaning of that word. And that's where the comparative linguistics really pays off. That's where it really comes in handy, where they're comparing the different related languages and finding related words like Hebrew and Aramaic, Hebrew and Arabic, Hebrew and Canaanite, Hebrew and Moabite, and so that you have more to draw upon for understanding the meaning of a word that you only find once in the Hebrew Bible, and there are several thousands of them. Okay, but with that being said, don't rely upon the etymology of the word to give you the meaning of the word. And here he reminds us that if the explanation is too difficult or if it's too distracting, then the solution, keep listening. Listen to the recorded forms, repeat the tracks two or three times, and keep moving. That's the key. Just keep working through this material, whether you're understanding everything, whether you're assimilating everything, whether you're just keep moving, because in due time you will. And you'll realize that you've been picking it up if you go back to to like part one and start working through those lessons again. You'll see it. And a lot of it that didn't make sense then will make more sense now, working through it the second time. And so here we have the Nifal participle. Okay? Ata nimlat. At nimleret. Atem nimlatem. Team. Sorry. Aten nimlatot. And these endings, see the first, these endings are consistent with what we've already learned about participle endings. There's no ending with the masculine singular, and these don't have person. And there's no, and this tav ending, it's also a feminine ending with a kamate. Sometimes words will have kamate, and sometimes it will have this tav. And the masculine plural is im, hirik yod mem. And the feminine plural is ot, the holam vav tav. And and he points out here what we've already observed. The participle uses the long comets, nimlat, and the third masculine singular of the form of nifal is nimlat with the patak. Okay, now the future. Nifal, he'atid. And he'atid is future, and let's see if he, binoni is participle. And he'avar is past tense. He'avar, binoni, he'atid. Okay. Ani emladet, sorry. Ani emladet. Ata temladet. Tem malet, sorry. Emalet, tem malet. At temlati, hu yemalet, hi temalet, anaknu nemalet, atem temlatu, and that would be a vocal shava because that's a long vowel, temlat. Tem, temalatu, atem, temalatna, atem, temalatna, hem, yimlatu, hena, temalatna, hena, temalatna. And you may notice with these that the future tense is the prefix form. Every one of these have the prefixes, and these prefixes, and some of them have a suffix too. But they're consistent with every verb form. Okay, and they have the same meaning. Ani, ata, at, hu, he, that. These are what we've already learned and what we've already been exposed to with the other verb forms that we've looked at. So it's consistent all the way through. And the Nifal present tense has three syllables in its basic forms. And they have the sound of I, A, E, and a dagesh in the first root letter. That you see that up here. That dagesh in the first root letter, that's the nun. That's been assimilated. You don't see a nun in any of these, except nimlat. And that nun that you see, well, he's going to explain it here. The dagesh of the mem, that is, and if it has a guttural, it doesn't take a dagesh if the word has a guttural. And the imperative also uses a hey prefix. So this is what's called a prosthetic hey. Instead of the nun, which is assimilated into the mem, it uses a hey. And the hey keeps in place all the vowels of the nephal. And here you have nimalet. These are the imperative forms. He nimalet. And he nimlati. Nimlate. No, that would be vocal. He, him, himalate, sorry, him, himalatnu, malatu, I'm just messing this one all up. Go back to the recordings. Then the nephal, then the prefix changes between the active pal and the passive nephal. Okay, now here's where you see the difference between the future form of the pa'al or the kal. Yiktov and yikatev. The vowel, the holom vowel, that's typical of that particular form, but it changes to a sere when it's a nephal. And you see the dagesh. You see the changes in the vowel pattern. Consonants are all the same, but it's the vowel pattern that's different. And the meaning would be different. So, and then he gives you the infinitive form, infinitive. And he doesn't give you all of this in the recording. I wish he did, honestly. But you can look at it and you can see the differences with these. Why don't we take a break and then we'll come back and we'll finish this up. Yeshli chol bepe. That's what I should have said when I was stumbling all over a participle. Okay, now let's look at this next verb pattern. And this is a sub-pattern of pa'al, which he already points out. And the pa'al uses a different vowel within the future tense and sometimes uses a different participle pattern in the future tense, and these verbs are called the stative kal pattern. They're stative verbs because they describe a state of being. And yeshkav, yigadol, and he gives you the examples here that we've already had. Yizkor, Zoker, Zachar, and the sub-pattern of the pal, it uses different vowels. Okay, rather than the comets patak, it's the comets and sere. in the past tense. These verbs, they're used, they are intransitive. They don't receive a direct object. When you kind of play it out, you can see that the pattern has been given the name of stative in English. Stative pattern has a special past tense too, and that's what we were looking at. This was the future tense pattern, yishkav, rather than having the holam, which we saw up here. It has a patak. That's what he was pointing out here. Yishkav, Yigdol, Yerav, Yisken, Yishma, Yivrach. And it's a lot easier to see down here, though, as far as it not receiving a direct object. Here you go. You have Zaken. And you see the vowel pattern, the comments in the Sere. Well, how do you become old something? You don't. You just become old. No object is necessary. And here are some more. There are some that have the kal pattern with the comments and the patak. Okay? But the meaning is what's stated, like gadol, ra'av, Shechav, Shema, and that answers the question. Some of these answers the question of what we were looking at last time, and you were asking is, well, that's a stative, because that's the stative pattern. But also, the adjective has the same pattern too, and the meanings are close. Okay? In Jonah, you have the following stative pa'al pattern. Okay? This is from the book of Jonah, Chafetz Yireh. And the Pa'al stative pattern is distinguished by having a special participle form. Instead of vowels like Zocher is remembering, or Kotev is writing, the classic stative pattern uses Pa'al for the participle too. And notice that in the following. Zaken, Chafetz, Yareh, Gadel, Ra'ev. You see, now you can see some of the ones that we were looking at earlier. See, he exposes you to see these things in advance so that when you get to them, they're not that foreign. And those are the masculine forms. Here's the feminine forms. At zechana, at chafetza, at yeria, at gerla, at reava. Okay, so if you're a woman, you can say ani reava. I am hungry. Tell that to your husband at dinner time. Okay. And with these past tense, some verbs belong to the stative pattern, have assimilated their participle. Okay, atah shochev, atah shomea. Okay, and we've already saw some of these, but they do have that that holam vowel pattern. Okay, rather than just retaining the same vowel pattern as the past tense. Okay? That's what's being shown here. The vowel pattern of the past tense is being retained in some participles, and some participles, it does have the holam. And Zakenu.
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 Zakenu
new.
Plural, isn't it?
New. No, new is the, yeah, it would be we.
We. Okay. What about I?
Zaken. Yeah. You see right here? You are getting old, it would be the same. Because it's a participle. Participles, it's not inflected for person. If we were saying we would say anaknu, zakanim, im, we. It's because it's not inflected for person. It's not new. It's im. It's the plural ending.
It's just plural.
Right. With participles. Sorry. And here you have it. Then you see just the full paradigm with the word Yashev. That's the pattern. This is the word right here. Yashev. It's the paradigm of Yashev. He became dried up. How can you dry up something? It became dried up. And so you and I did the same thing with this. I isolated this as a so that I could hear the recording. Listening to the track three or four times will help put the forms inside of you. You don't need to know why this category exists, but you need to accept the forms as good Hebrew and then proceed with learning. Okay? And someone put it to me once this way. Lama? Kacha. Why? Because it just is. Because. Okay, and that's how kids learn language too. They don't need a full explanation. You just learn, well, that's just the way it is. And that speeds up the whole process. And, you know, I mean, you can slow it down and learn the grammar and learn why it is, okay, or take a closer look at it, which is a whole different set, but it's not a part of language learning. That's not a part of developing fluency with the language. Keep listening to the recordings and get it inside of you. And that's why I did. That's why I did isolated these as a playlist so that I could. I wouldn't review them all every day, but I would either review one for a week, or after I. Had done that for a while, then I would do review a different one every day. You know, and doing the same thing, listening to it a few times to get those forms inside of me, to get used to those patterns. And we'll go down to the Deuteronomy 8. Ukshartam leot al yedecha vehayu letotafot ben enecha. So let's work through the vocabulary. Ukshartam Ukshartah Am. And I kind of like that too, because he isolates the suffixes to show you that when you see that suffix, it's kind of hard. It's not doing it for me. When you see that suffix at the end of a word, you know that it has that meaning, them, and it's masculine plural. Ukshartam, ukshartā, ukshām. Okay, and. Then here is the basic form of the word. Kashar. Kashar. Yikshor. Leot. Ot. with the lamed preposition. Leot, for a sign. Ot, a sign. Al yadecha, on your hand. And here you have two forms. Al yadecha and al yadcha. Al yadcha. That's the regular form. The pausal form, as I said, sometimes they change the spelling to slow down the pronunciation so that you kind of know that you're at the end of a sentence. So putting it all together. Ukshartam leot al yadecha. Ukshartam leot al yadecha. Together. Ukshartam leot al yadecha. And I would kind of act this out too. You know how they wrap that around their, that's what they're doing. That's why they're doing it, is that this right here, they're wrapping it around, they're binding it around their hand. That's as a sign. That's what this is saying. Ukshartam, and you shall bind them as a sign, for a sign, on your hand. And ka is the third masculine singular, your. And because he's addressing all of Israel as one person. And then we have Vehayu. Haya. Haya. Yihye. Letotafot. And Totafot. You remember, le is four. It's the lamed preposition. Totefet. And that's the singular of, and this is the plural of the same word. Totefot is plural. Totefet is singular. Bain. Between. Einecha. Your eyes. And ein. Ein, your eye, okay, anecha, and putting it all together, vehayu letotafot bein anecha, vehayu letotafot bein anecha, vehayu letotafot bein anecha, and that's what I would do. I would do this right here, letotafot bein anecha. Between your eyes. That's where they put the box on their forehead. That's why they're doing that, is because of what it says right here. And putting it all together, you know the first part. Shema Israel, Adonai Eloheinu, that's not in the book. Adonai Echad. And then you see the unpointed... there's no vowel points in this part right here. Okay. If you've been working with the recordings, you should be able to do this without the vowels, because you know the words. Okay. Ve'ahavta et Adonai Elohecha v'chol lavavecha uv'chol nafshecha uv'chol meodecha ve'chayu hadvarim ha'ele asher anochi mitzvacha hayom alavavecha v'shinantam levenecha v'divarta bam v'shivtaka beveteka uvleftaka v'derek uvshofecha uvkomeka ukshartam leot ayadecha v'chayu letotafot ben anecha. Now you should have that memorized by now. Or if you don't, keep working on it, because that's going to be a part of the finalist to recite this orally. So what I did was I went and isolated those recordings for the Shema. Yes, and put it together. And that's what you do have this full reading on the recordings. So you're putting it together, reinforcing it. And I, this is one that I did like on a daily basis. And I would make, I started where I needed to start, and I worked from there. So this is the third verse. Ve'ahavta et Adonai Elohecha v'kol lavavecha v'kol nafshecha v'kol me'odecha ve'hayu hadvarim ha'ele asher enoki mitzvacha hayom ha'lavavecha ve'shinantam levenecha ve'dibarta bam ve'shivtaka ve'vetecha uv'leftaka v'derek v'shopika v'komeka uk'shartam le'olt ayedecha Lehayu letotafot ben anecha. So be sure to work on that, and work on it. Don't do what a lot of people have a tendency to do, wait until the last minute to work on it, because the sooner you start doing this, and the sooner you start challenging yourself to be able to recite it without looking at it. The sooner that you'll have it inside of you, the sooner that you'll be able to go, Shema Israel, Adonai Eloheinu, Adonai Echad, Ve'ahavta et Adonai Elohecha, Ve'kol lavavecha, Uv'kol nafshecha, Uv'kol me'odecha. Ve'hayu hadvarim ha'ele, Asher enoki mitzvacha hayom, A'lavavecha. Ve'shinantam levenecha, Ve'dibarta bam, Ve'shivtaka ve'vetecha, Uv'leftaka v'derek, Ushofika uvkomeka. Ukshartam le olta yedeka, vehayu le totafot benenecha. Uktatam al mezuzot beteka uvisharecha. Vehavta le reacha kamoka ani Adonai. And I learned that just by doing, just like I was explaining to you, by going over and going over it, going over it, going over it, and challenging myself. And once you start memorizing things and you find out how easy it is, it becomes easier. Maybe in the beginning it's a little bit difficult, and some people they might lose heart, they might give up. This is too hard. I can't do this. You know, and that happens all the time. You know, you see people come in and they start out, and then it's a little bit more challenging than they had anticipated, and they give up. They give up before they reap. Because, you know, as it says in Galatians, do not grow weary in well-doing, for in due season you will reap if you faint not. That's true about Hebrew too. So keep working at it, and it'll become easier. And you'll be able to do it. Yes. You had a question? Okay. All right. So keep working on that. And then he had some drills that are built upon the book of Jonah. You know, we don't have time to go through all of it. And he does that Steve Erevs. That is a challenge. And the reason for that, and you don't have any English, it's just to challenge you. It's just to push you, to push you ahead, to challenge your mind, to think about the meaning, and to get to the point to where you can work with Hebrew without translating it in your mind, where you're beginning to think in Hebrew, which is really where you want to go with fluency. As I said, with Dr. Booth's materials, we're learning Hebrew. We're not just learning about Hebrew. When we go back to grammar, then we'll learn about Hebrew. But right now, we're learning Hebrew in order to develop fluency with the language, in order to develop our ability to read Hebrew and to with comprehension, with understanding. And these exercises actually push you to do that. And there's no new information here. This is all the vocabulary in these exercises are vocabulary that we've already been exposed to. And sometimes you might want to go back and look. You know, I mean, you remember this one? Chol, maim, ril, dam, chol. We had that. And then li, lacha, la, lacha, lo, la, lanu, li. You see, he's just using a lot of the same vocabulary that we've already had, but he's putting it together in different arrangements without any English reinforcement. And the same thing here. He's just substituting words in the very simple pattern, the very simple context. Now, we want to look at Sefer Yonah. And this is the end of chapter 1 of Jonah. So we should have, we've worked through the first chapter after this. And then he does a little something at the end with the second chapter, because he saves the second chapter for chapter 11. Chapter 11 is the entire second chapter because it's poetry. And poetry is it's a little bit, the syntax is a whole lot different than the syntax of the narrative. The grammar is a little bit different, so he reserves it. Usually, they reserve poetry for intermediate and advanced studies. And like in the first year Hebrew, you don't really get a lot of poetry because of that reason, because of the syntax is different than the normal Hebrew syntax. But we will get to that. But he takes you through this, and he just gives you enough so that you don't lose sight of the picture. And so let's work through this. Samech Gimel. Vayikru El Adonai. And then the line would be Vayikru El Adonai. And then the next word, Samek Dalet, Vayomru. Vayomru. And then the line, Samek Dalet, Vayomru. Then Samek He. Anna. You see the accents on the beginning. Anna. Anna Adonai. Elna Novda. Al. Na. Novda. Novad. Hu Navad. Hu Yovad. And you see the full pattern right there? That's the participle form. And the past tense and the future tense form. Novda. And then the line is Ana Adonai Alna Novda Benefesh Hazeh. Did we do that? Benefesh? No, I'm sorry. I cut you short. Benefesh Chayish Hazeh. Be. That's the preposition. Be. And it means in, at, or at the price of. Nefesh. Ish. Okay, now let's look at the line. Ana Adonai, Ana Noda ben Nefesh Ha'ish Hazeh. Ana Adonai, Ana Noda בנפש האיש הזה. And you know, you're probably like me. You probably do a lot better when you're at home alone. You're at home alone, you're working on, oh yeah, I'm getting this. Then you come to class, you're put on the spot, like you kind of have a hesitancy. I mean, it's always that way. You know, it's like what happens. You know, you know the material, then when you come to take a quiz, it's like your brain freezes up or something. I don't know. Like, I knew it. Where do we go? There we are. Samik Vav. The Alte Ten. Titen. Natan. Yiten. Alenu. Damnaki. Naki. Okay, and if you notice here, Natan and Yitan, that's why it's really helpful to learn the past tense and the future tense, because of the changes that take place with, see, that nun is assimilated. If you know both of those forms, you know what the third masculine, you know what the lexical form is. You can look this up in a lexicon because you know both of these forms. And this one, you will give the future tense. You see the same change here. The noon has been assimilated. You would take this off, and then you would be left with 10. And you would have to ask yourself, well, what is that dagesh? And it's assimilated noon. Naten, natan. So that you'd be able to look it up. Okay. Well, let's go back up to Samik Vav. Ve'altiten alenu damnaki. Ve'altiten alenu damnaki. Samek Zayin. Ki ata Adonai. And that is the same line. Ki ata Adonai. For you are the Lord. And then Samek Chet. Ka'asher. Hafatzta. Chafatz Yakpots Asita Asa Yaase, and then the line Samechet Kaasher Chafatzta Asita. Then Samik Tet, Melim. Vayisu. Nasa. Yisa. You see the same thing here with between the past tense and the future tense. You see the difference. That the noon has been assimilated. Okay, Etiona. And you know that the et is the direct object marker. It's not it's definite direct object marker because it's referring to a definite noun, Yona. Personal nouns are considered to be, personal names are considered to be definite. So you would, but that, you don't necessarily have to translate it that way. It's not the Jonah, but it's considered to be definite. And here you go. Vayisu et Yonah. Vayisu et Yonah. What do they do to Jonah? They picked him up. And then we get Ein. Vayitilu. Vayitiluhu. Sorry. Vayitiluhu. And who? And Yitilu. And you see what's happening there? You're adding this objective prefix. And the shurik here is changing to kibbutz. Vayitiluhu. And Vayitilu. Then Hu Hetel. Hu Yatil. El Hayam. To the sea. Okay, and then the Shua Ein. Shua Ein is Vayatiluhu et El Hayam. Vayatiluhu El Hayam. So they picked him up and they threw him in the sea. And Ein Aleph, Vayamod. Hu Amad. Hu Yamod. Hayam. Mitzapo. Mi. Zaaf. Okay, and then Ein Aleph. Vayamod Hayam Mitzapo. Yom Hayam Mitzapo. Then did I lose my way? Oh, here we go. Ein Bet. Vayiru. Vayiru. Yare. Yira. Hu Yira. Sorry, I mean, I forget to do the no, the pronominal suffix. This is the vocabulary right here. Vayiru. Hu Yare. Hu Yira. Ha'anashim. Yira Gedla. Et Adonai. And I think that he points out here that this is an idiomatic expression. They feared a great fear. The root of both of these words is the same. And Jonah, in the book of Jonah, you'll find a lot of words that are like that. Be sure to look at the grammar notes. So let's do the line. Ein bet, yeah, like Mina said, 16. Vayiru ha'anashim yira gedala et Adonai. Vayiru ha'anashim yira gedala et Adonai. And then Ein Gemel. Vayizbachu. Zavach. Yizbach. Zevach. Le'aronai. And you notice with this too, They sacrifice a sacrifice. One's the verbal form, and one's the nominative form, the noun form of the same word. And then we have Ein Gemel up here. Vayizbachu Zavach le'Adonai. Vayizbahu Zavach Adonai. Vayizbachu, because it's a vocal. Vayizbachu Zavach le'Adonai. Then Vayidru, Ayin Dalet, Vayidru, Nadar, Yidor, Nedarim, Neder. And you have, again, you have the same thing here. You have both the verb form and the noun form of the same root word, and they vowed a vow. First they feared a fear, then they sacrificed a sacrifice, and now they're vowing a vow. Vayidru nedarim. Ein hei. Vayaman Hu Mina Hu Yimene Adonai Dug Gadol Levloa Bala Yivla Et Yona. In a line. Ein he, two one. Vayiman Adonai dag gadol levloa et yona. Vayiman Adonai dag gadol levloa et yona. So we're into chapter 2 now. Then Ein Vav Vayahi Vayahi Vayahi. Sorry, maybe it is kind of like that. It sounds like that in the recording, but that's silent. Vayahi Yona Bime Hadag Bime Hadag. Be, and that's the way it looks before a shava, because you can't have two vocal shavas in a row. That's what we call a shava fight. And so the first shava loses one of its dots. It becomes a hirik. Be. Be is the normal form of the preposition. Me. May I'm Doug Shlosha Yamim Ushlosha Lelot. 3 days and three nights. The sign of the prophet Jonah. Shlosha Yamim Ushlosha Lelot. And then the line. Ein Vav Vayahi Yona Bime Hadag Shlosha Yamim Ushlosha Lelot. Vayahi Yona Bime Hadag Shlosha Yamim Ushlosha Lelot. Then Ein Zayin Vayitpalel. Hu hitpalel. Yitpalel. Yona. El Adonai Elohav. Mime Hadaga. Daga. And he suggests that it's that the difference between Dag and Daga is fish as a collective from inside the fish, monstrous, and, is what Dr. Booth suggests. There we go. 2.2. Ein sein. Vayitpalel Yona el Adonai Elohav mime chadaga. Vayitpalel Yona el Adonai Elohav mime chadaga. And you know what Vayomer is? Yes. Vayomer. Einchet, and the line up there is Vayomer. 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 And then Eintet, in the Malim. Karati. Karati. Kara. Yikra. Mitzarali. Mi. Tzara. Lee. Okay, now I'll look at the line. Eintet. Karati mitzareli. So it's beginning Jonah's prayer. And here you can see the beginning of, and that's all in poetry. That's all Hebrew poetry. And later on he'll explain why he formats it this way. So, karati mitzareli, and then Hey, El Adonai, Vayaneni, Vayaan, Ni, and Ni, he points out, is the objective suffix for me, Ni, and then you have down here. Hu ana and hu yaane. Then put it together. And shwape el Adonai yaveyaaneni. And that's a great prayer. Karati mitzarli el Adonai veyaaneni. I cried to the Lord out of my trouble, and he heard me. And then Pei Aleph. Mibetin Sheol. From Sheol's stomach, or from the belly of hell, however you want to translate it. Shivati. Shivati, Shiva, Yeshiva. And you, of course you know that that is not a shurik, but that is a vav with a dagesh forte, a doubling dagesh, because there's a vowel underneath it. If there was no vowel underneath it, then it would be a vowel and it would be a shurik. Okay, now let's look at Pei Aleph. Mebetin Sheol Shavati. And Shemata Koli. And then he gives you a note here. See chapter 11 for the rest of his prayer. From the belly of hell I cried for help, and you heard my voice. Shemata Koli. And then he takes you down to the end of the chapter after Jonah submitted to the Lord. Vayomer Adonai Ladag. And that's the line. Vayomer Adonai Ladag. Vayache. Hu heki. Hu yaki. Et Yona. Al Chayavasha. And then you get the final line. Vayaki et Yona el Chayavasha. Vayaki et Yona el Chayavasha. Okay. And now just listen and follow along. And I'll read through the passage. Vayikaru el Adonai. Vayomru. Ana Adonai, Ana noda benefesh haishaze, Lealtiten alenu, dam naki. Kiata Adonai, kasher hafatta asita. Vayisu et Yona, vayitulu el hayam. Vayalmod hayam mitzapo. Vayaruch anashim. Yiragerla et Adonai. Vayizbachu zavach le Adonai. Vayidru yeradem. Vayaman Adonai dag gadol levloa et Yona. Vayihi Yona bimei hadag shlosha yamim ushlosha lelot. Vayitpelel Yona el Adonai Elohav. Mimei hadaga, vayamu, vayomer. Karati mitzarli el Adonai, vayaneni. Mibetn Shaul shavati, shamata koli. Vayomer Adonai ladag, vayake ed Yona, el hayavasha. Okay, so keep working on it. Keep going over it. Keep reviewing it. And next week, Jonah goes to Nineveh. He finally obeys the Lord. All right. Well, let's pray. Father, once again, we thank you for your goodness and for your mercy. We thank you for the work of your Holy Spirit in our lives, and we commit ourselves to you in this coming week, Lord, as we continue to work on Hebrew, as we continue to work through these materials. Help us to assimilate the language, help us to develop fluency with the language, to retain the language, to get it inside of us, and Lord, just continue your loving kindness towards us by working in our lives, by being gracious to us, to uphold us, to sustain us and strengthen us, not only for Hebrew, but in our day-to-day lives with all the challenges that present themselves to us. Lord, we cry out with Jonah from the midst of our troubles. And Lord, you hear us and you deliver us, Lord. And we just trust you to see your wonderful works in our lives, Lord, that you would demonstrate your power and your presence by hearing us as we cry out to you in secret and answering us openly and abundantly in the circumstances of our lives. Lord, when our hearts are overwhelmed, when our hearts are full of trouble, and we're deeply distressed, because of the circumstances of our lives, because of what other people are doing and what other people are saying and what's going on. And it's more than we can handle. Lord, we know, Lord, that it's not beyond you, that it's not out of your control. And And Lord, we're looking to you and crying out to you with our whole heart for your mercy and for your help. And thank you for this valuable lesson that we get to learn from Jonah. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.